Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Today is February 22nd, 2016, and you are listening live with In Touch Interviews on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today, we welcome two amazing guests here to discuss the upcoming Holistic Health and Wellness Expo taking place on March 7th. Our first guest, Diane Dovico, has a BA in education, is a certified prevention specialist, workplace wellness specialist, and executive director of the Royal Oak Community Coalition. Diane became interested in holistic care in 1977 when faced with a serious surgery. Since then, she has studied complementary holistic modalities to sustain optimal health and strives to share this new field of lifestyle wellness in her work with the coalition. As a skilled event organizer, Diane connects people to resources so they may find doable and practical solutions to the challenges of everyday life. Our second guest, Dominique Schroeder, has a prospective Master of Social Work, is a student studying at Wayne State University and focusing on community development and policy advocacy. She is interning with Royal Oak Community Coalition. Dominique believes that health and well-being is critical for personal success. She is excited to be part of an event that promotes wellness within the community. Dominique's post-graduation goal is to secure a position that allows her to advocate for oppressed groups, specifically inner-city youth and persons with mental health conditions. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome both these amazing ladies.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity that Body, Mind, Spirit is allowing us to have some radio time to talk about this awesome event, and we appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you so much for being here today and allowing me to interview you. I always have a wonderful time talking to those in the community who are promoting events, but also have an amazing reason why. And I feel like you ladies have an amazing reason why you're doing this event. So let's talk about the event a little bit. And I know that the Royal Oak Community Coalition puts this on every year. So let's talk a little bit about the coalition and how they do this and what they are.
Thank you very much. Well, I guess I will start. I've been with the coalition for 21 years, and the purpose of the coalition is to help reduce substance abuse use. And through the years, I've always used a positive strength model platform using the Search Institute as my framework. And with that, I've always put the context of health and wellness into all my presentations and the work we do. I just didn't feel like running around telling people not to abuse or use drugs was really the right message that I wanted them to have. I wanted them to have a message where they learn about their bodies and they learn how to take care of their bodies. So I started that with presentations to children and parents and then out into the community. So, like for an example that I give with that is I always start off with children learning to brush their teeth. I think that kids need to learn that they're responsible for their health. And I feel like that empowers them when they learn that they have responsibilities and they can make decisions. And parents help them learn how to make appropriate decisions. So when my daughter was young, I would have pictures in the bathroom of people with decayed teeth. And I explained to her when she was little that if she didn't properly brush her teeth, that that's what would happen to her teeth. But the responsibility of her teeth being properly brushed was up to her. So she had to make a choice if she wanted clean teeth or she wanted to have teeth that looked like that. Well, needless to say, my daughter always attended to brushing her teeth properly. And, of course, being a mom, I was always, lurking around. But I wanted her to feel empowered. And I kept using that message. Fast forward to when she was 12, every year on her birthday, I always gave her another responsibility as she was growing up. And when she was 12, one of her responsibilities was to make her own doctor appointments. So we sat together, we made out a little narrative of what she needed to say to make an appointment for a physical with her pediatrician's office. So I sat there with her, and we came up with dates and times that we could make the appointment, and I put the phone in her hands because now she's 12 and she can take that responsibility for her health. So I've always kind of used that angle. Also, when I was growing up, in when I was in my 20s, I started learning about, in fact, I found an article last year that I had stashed away in one of my files, and I had underlined the word holistic. And I was kind of surprised by that. It was back in 1974. And I was taking yoga at the time when people were thinking yoga was a cult and what was I doing, and they were going to take over my thinking and my brain. And I used to laugh about stretching and feeling better. So with that, I've always practiced myself holistic care. I looked at everything I was doing and trying to make myself adhere to practices that I thought would benefit my body and not necessarily take medications and pills for every ache and pain, but try to like use maybe a holistic modality. And there was one of my favorite vitamin stores, which I forget the name at this moment, but I start creating my own vitamin regimens. And with that, I had a surgery coming up for my ear. I had a tumor in my middle ear. And I started a vitamin regimen prior to the surgery, and then I started a regimen right after the surgery. Well, what came of that is 3 weeks after the surgery, and the doctor is looking at my ear, he said, I've never seen anybody heal this quickly before. And I responded to him about the vitamin regimen I was on. I was so excited to hear this news. But his eyes just glazed over, and he completely ignored it. But I knew that I was onto something. So through the years, I have helped friends find solutions to some of their discomforts, medical and emotional, and finding natural ways to help themselves. And I'm not saying we don't look at traditional medical advice. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you can incorporate and integrate, complement what's happening, but to use your mind, to think about what you want for yourself. And I always thought about, you know, I pray, I meditate, I use the affirmations, and I always look at good food choices. So with that, I brought all of that into my work here at the Coalition. About 6 years ago, I decided I wanted young children to learn about these practices, holistic modalities, but I felt like parents wouldn't probably allow their children to just come to these type of events. So I invited both kids and their parents to a six-part series that we held at the Coalition office. And it dealt with healthy snacks, and it dealt with martial arts, and then we had yoga, and we had Tai Chi, and things like that. So we start moving those ideas and practices maybe incorporating into their family lifestyle. Then about 3 years ago, I noticed that, well, actually it was 4 years ago, I noticed that, you know, there was an uptick on prescription drug use, abuse. And I thought hard about that, like, why is that happening? Why are people going to that? And I realized it's to mitigate or reduce physical or emotional pain. And I thought, well, how can I bring holistic modalities and practices to people so they can maybe reach out and do something different rather than taking medications that actually have a lot of adverse side effects? Whether you actually need the medication for, like, pain relief or not, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So maybe we don't need to take them as often or as much, and I'm not saying we don't do that, because I certainly would if I was in a lot of pain, but I would also try to do other things to help mitigate the pain. So I've learned a lot of things along the way. So my idea was to bridge, be the bridge between the information of holistic modalities with the public, and use the our annual Holistic Health and Wellness Expo to be that vehicle to bring practitioners together with the public. Now, I also know that 5 years ago when I had the idea, people would say, well, why are you having that? What do you mean holistic? What does that mean, and why are you doing that? And I explained to them what holistic medicine, holistic wellness is. So our first year, it took me a year to plan the first one, we had 150 people come through, and we had 36 practitioners. But what happened at the end of that is I got a lot of phone calls and people in notes, people really appreciating what they learned, and they asked if I would have one next year so they can bring their friends and family because they learned so much. And I wanted to comment about that is our Holistic Wellness Expo, which I want to make a correction. It's actually March 5th. I know I sent you a paper, and last year's date was on there, so that was my fault. I apologize. So it is actually March 5th. So it's unique because it's educational-based. We have many little mini classes that run all day, but when the public comes into the high school, they can talk directly to practitioners about that particular modality. And I think that's important because they're not necessarily going to make appointments with all these different, there's such a variety of practices, and this is an opportunity for them to explore all that. And it's an opportunity to talk directly to the practitioners without making an appointment and not knowing what to say. But they're going to now look and examine and, I believe, continue researching what are these applications and what are some of the options I can use, because there are a lot now, and people are getting more comfortable. So much so that last year, our third annual Holistic Health and Wellness Expo, we had 720 people come through. And again, the result of that through evaluations by practitioners and the attendees were all in the 90%, because we bring in our practitioners and we make sure they have the right space, they have a they feel welcomed, and they have a place that is safe and a place that's clean and a place that allows discussion and is comfortable for everybody. So with that, we do have a goal of 900 to come this year, and we're kind of excited about that. And we are very pleased that Royal Oak High School and Royal Oak Schools is allowing us to use their building to host this. This will be our fourth year, so we're really excited. So in the fall, what comes to our office is interns from Wayne State University, and I had the pleasure of interviewing Dominique, who has been now working on this project. She's kind of like the center point person. She's doing a lot of work walking in, and this was all new to her. But when I interviewed her and asked her if she felt like she could handle putting on a huge event like this, well, you know, she's never done that before, and I know, but it's all about learning, and she came right on board, and she dug right in. So I thought maybe I'd let Dominique talk a little bit about the topics and the practitioners that we have on our schedule for coming up in 2 weeks. So I'll turn over to Dominique.
All right, thanks, Diane. So we have reviewed our practitioner list, and I think we're at 70 practitioners that are going to be hosting booths, and we'll have between 27 and 36 classes. So our modalities will be ranging from aromatherapy, art therapy, the Alexander technique, all the way to some energy healing. We have some nutritional classes, some nutritional education series that our vendors will be, you know, discussing. We also have some integrative holistic practices coming through. Beaumont Health Systems will be discussing the benefits of holistic practice. We also have massage therapy that will be on the floor for people to try. Chiropractic will be also on the floor as well. We are also excited to have mini CPR classes throughout the day. It's hands only, and that will allow the public to just get an idea for the basics of CPR in case of an emergency so that they can, you know, take charge of a emergency situation and hopefully benefit the life of the person who's in the crisis. So we do have a day full of holistic practices for the public to come in and try. As I was saying, our classes and mini presentations will begin at 10:30, and they will run the duration of the day. We are right now between 27 and 36. We're looking to hopefully have somewhere between that range of people presenting on topics, including including just how to take charge of your health via food, so how food can be viewed as medicine, chakra and energy balancing, decreasing stress or having spine care, so different classes coming from the chiropractic practitioners, some life coaches we will have, so kind of just focusing on yourself and how you can promote yourself within, you know, this crazy hectic world. And also some pain management. So that kind of speaks to what Diane was saying. Sometimes not all of us can take pain medication, or we do have the adverse side effects of pain medication. So we will have some speakers coming in and talking about how to naturally approach pain medicine, or pain management, I'm sorry, without maybe the use of medicine. Along with some of the demonstrations or mini classes that you can take are yoga. We also look forward to having crystals, how to strengthen your aura. So some hands-on activities as well. So we really are looking to kind of have this environment where it's a meet and greet, but also interact. So interaction is key to our expo, and I think that's what really makes it unique. When I came onto this team at the Coalition, I was very excited to take part in this because of the comprehensive atmosphere that Diane was really promoting. So this expo is not just about walking around and going to different booths and maybe picking up a pamphlet. She really encourages practitioners to interact with the community that's coming in and be inviting to them. And that's why we work so hard to kind of promote this environment that is about learning and exploring. And that's also where our class demonstration and speaker list comes into play. It allows the community to explore and then maybe try or interact on a more personal level with these practitioners so that they get a feel for how they can take control of their health.
So I wanted to... I know. Go ahead. I didn't know if you had a question.
I was going to say, very interesting. I've been to a lot of events over the years, and of course I know that most people who try to put on any type of holistic or wellness expo or even, you know, metaphysical expo, they when you rent a booth or you're a vendor and so forth, you know, they say, you know, you're here to interact and build your clientele or yada, yada, yada. But you guys really encourage that they interact with the people coming through the door. And I find that inspiring.
Yeah, we have gotten a lot of compliments about that because it is definitely educationally based. Because now we're calling it holistic, but one day we'll be able to say it's energy healing, but I don't think the greater community understands that quite yet. But I have been reading a lot of great articles from neuroscientists who now are discovering these connections, these anatomical connections in our brain and our gut. What you eat does dominate and control what your brain feels. What you ingest is important. They understand now what a gut feeling is. You know, we've talked about, hey, my gut tells me I shouldn't have done there. My gut's telling me I should go that direction. It's because there's other things going on within yourself that are and have been unexplained. However, right now, there's now new tools that the medical community can use to discover there are these connections because our bodies run on energy. That's one of the things that I feel is missing in our academic studies in school is really understanding our anatomy and what each of our organs does and the importance and how it all fits together. Because when I talk about addiction, for example, a lot of people felt addiction had to do with your morals or your religion or your social economic status or race or, you know, all kinds of things. But it all came from ignorance. And the reason why they came from ignorance is because we didn't understand how the brain is hijacked by chemicals. So what happens in your brain in the pleasure center, you start shutting down certain, like dopamine and serotonin, because you have a drug, a feel-good drug inside of you, and it disrupts the way your brain operates. And therefore, when it starts to shut down certain things, then now you're starting to crave it because you want to feel good. And that's the whole thing about substance abuse use, is people are trying to feel good. That is really the bottom line, or they're trying to escape a pain. So we have, for example, it's a $5 donation, by the way, at the expo, and that goes toward a yoga program that we started at the high school. And we started that because we were talking about helping students do better on testing. And, of course, we were looking at how they're marking their papers when they're circling the little Scantron sheets. But I know a lot of very intelligent young people, but when they get a test in front of them, like the SATs, they freeze up. They have a lot of pressure on them. That's their ticket to colleges and that's their ticket to scholarships. So I suggest that we help our young people learn how to manage anxiety without using drugs, because that is available to you whenever, 24/7 for the rest of your life. So using yoga positions that are specific to helping reduce anxiety, even social anxiety, there are positions that help increase concentration and focus, as well as meditation, as well as the spiritual practice of mindfulness. So if we start turning in, you know, I will say, you know, the Bible says that healing is within. And I think we are becoming to understand what exactly that means. And we don't have a handle on it completely, but I believe in the next 20 years, our whole framework of treatment is going to be completely different. They're just not going to throw a prescription drug at you. They're going to put in your lap many things that you can do to maybe augment anxiety. So, you know, you look at, you know, young people when they're dating, they're going on their first date, and even adults, a lot of people want a drink of alcohol, and I'm not against that. I'm just saying that there's social anxiety, and people don't want to admit that, you know. I have social anxiety in certain situations, but you know, it took me when I was a young person. It took me being a waitress for 3 years to approach people and be able to have, you know, short little conversations that grew into longer conversations and more comfortable and just, you know, chit-chatting with people and, you know, turning into, you know, important concepts and ideas. So I think that if we can build these tools into our daily life through, you know, at school when you're taking a gymnastics class or taking a phys ed class or a health class, that some of these modalities are now more fully discussed. And right now, because people are just accepting them, I think that's going to change too. I think that is what's going to happen. So that's how I connect this whole concept with substance abuse prevention. Because when you really look at it, people are using drugs. They're abusing drugs to feel good. Now, I know that there are some people that I've learned that they just their bodies just do not manufacture dopamine and serotonin. Their brain, for some reason, lacks that ability. So when they have their first drink or they have their first drug, and I'm sure you've heard of this, many people have, that person will say, hey, I never felt this good before. So, of course, we want to feel good. We want to feel energized, and we want to feel good about ourselves and our interactions with others. So we can do that ourselves without ingesting these things that lead us to a life of, brokenness. Because for some people, even though they go through treatment to withdraw from a drug, they never really can get past that. There is a population that just cannot get past that. So let's look at how we can increase our own dopamine, our own serotonin, because these are chemicals within our bodies. And I believe that can happen. I believe that we can look at that, and that will be incrementally studied. I was just reading about pathways of the brain and how they get changed through meditation and through prayer, through that spirituality component. So I'm looking at all of that, and as I keep reading about neuroscience studies and research, I'm more and more impressed about how they're discovering how these modalities work. So now when people say, well, there's no science behind it, well, you know what? There is growing science behind it. And I pleasantly have discovered that some of our health insurance companies are talking about these very concepts in their newsletters to their target population of people that they insure. So I'm really excited to be a part of that. That's why when I took a program on a workplace wellness specialist. And I have to say I found some gaps in that model that I'd like to be the lead in maybe creating a platform where those gaps are addressed. And one of the gaps in workplace worksite wellness specialist program is there was very little talk about holistic modalities, hardly yoga and meditation. That was about it. They didn't even look at food as medicine, which is a huge body of science. And that goes back way. But, you know, when people are have an illness, they'll say, well, you know, I have arthritis or I have this condition and I'm in pain. Like, what kind of diet are you following? Because there are foods that increase inflammation and there are foods that decrease inflammation. Like, oh, well, I didn't know that. You know, well, sugar is one of them. That increases inflammation. So that increases your pain because inflammation causes discomfort. So with that program, I also noticed that there seemed to be a lot of financial carrots that the employers would offer their employees. And I don't necessarily feel that's necessary. I don't think that is where we want to go. I think what we want to do is offer opportunities for people to learn how to take care of themselves. But I think what we need to do is empower people and understand what they're doing for themselves, because virtually it's up to them to make those kind of choices, and it is about choice. But they just don't know that they can be easily incorporated into our daily lives. I start looking at housework completely different when I realized I was actually being very physical and that was actually burning off calories. I thought, okay, well, that's not as bad as I thought. So I'd be more likely to maybe even exaggerate some of my movements of squats, you know, and lunges just in the course of that, or dancing. You know, dancing is so good for us. It's flipping on the radio and just going at it in your living room. And that's exercise, but it's not only exercise for your body. Dancing makes us all feel really good inside. So if we can do a little bit more of that, if we just dance 10 minutes a day, walking is so awesome for our bodies. We don't have to spend money at the gym. That helps. We shed pounds. We push blood through our veins and our arteries and clean them out. And it also, it's been known that after you walk, that you start thinking differently and more positive and finding more solutions to your problems. So oftentimes when people are having friends of mine or neighbors of mine and they're having difficulties with one thing, if we go for a walk, our conversation seems to be quite different than if we were just sitting there looking at each other during that particular conversation. And I think that opens up, different pathways in your brain to solve problems. So in all ways, mind, body, spirit, modalities, I feel, are shifting on our health, and then we won't be spending so much money, near our elder years when our bodies start to change. Well, we can make a difference when we're younger and start these when we're kids and teenagers, or even I see some parents now showing their little guys, their little children, little breathing exercises when their children are upset, when their children are having tantrums. Tantrums are simply because a child can't express through words yet their frustration, so it comes out physically. So that's another aspect of it, but I think that we can look at these responses of our bodies and frustrations and anger and how we can, it's not that we don't get angry, it's how we respond to it, how we not react to it, but how we respond. And when we meditate and make that a practice, you actually start doing that automatically. You start responding differently because you start using different parts of your brain. And I think it makes you more emotionally healthy. And that is one aspect that I think gets ignored even by the holistic community, is many of these practices also help with emotional distress. It can help build emotional wellness and mental wellness. So, for example, when people are going to a therapist for a mental health condition or an emotional condition that they're trying to grapple with. And I know we've stigmatized all that, and I would like to find other language for that, actually, so we can get past that. But like emotional wellness technique, which is tapping, I have a friend who's a practitioner, and I had some difficulties with a couple things going on, and I sat down and talked with her about it. And you know what? Oh, my gosh. It was like it evaporated. The whole condition that was underlying all that stress, anxiety, and discomfort with inside of myself disappeared. And she said, once it disappears, it doesn't come back. And she said, it's not like you have to keep talking and talking and talking about it. But I'm not suggesting you just do that, but to do it in a way that you're integrating that with talk therapy and you can move yourself along. So it's really taking a look and taking responsibility and being your own warrior for your health rather than putting that responsibility on everyone else, but looking at what can I do to stay healthy. Because, one thing I don't want is to be old and sitting in a chair, because I like having fun. I want to travel. I want to hike. I want to canoe. I want to do all those physical things. And I have a responsibility to myself, because that's what I want to do, is to keep myself healthy at all times. So when I learned about sodas and sugar and what it's doing to my bones, well, I stopped immediately and start shifting over what I'm eating and drinking. So food is medicine. There is no question about it. And helping kids learn to plant a garden so you're growing your own food, man, I think they're so empowering for children because they learn that they have control. They learn that they can do something. They learn that they can grow their own food. And they learn how to be tender, and they learn that each type of plant or vegetable has its own particular needs, just like people do. So there's so much behind just having a garden. And that, too, people feel healthier after they've tended their garden. I know we all want to sit on Sunday watching TV sometimes, and I do too, but then when I finally push myself out that door and I come in for dinner after I've been in the garden, you know, I do feel a lot better, and I felt like I got some exercise, and that's another exercise technique is that. So I can't really say enough about how I feel about this topic. I want to be that front runner in the tipping point of how we make these determinations about our health care. And I think that we can then become healthier mentally and emotionally and physically. When we're physically ill, we start getting depressed. I know I've had a back problem, and it didn't take me long to start feeling depressed. In 6 weeks, I couldn't get up. It's summertime. I'm laying on the floor. I can't get up. But you know what? If I had gone to a physical therapist, I'd probably still been on the floor, but I started going to this really awesome chiropractor, and that completely changed everything. And so then I was up and moving, and frankly, I never had pain in my back after that unless I, you know, I did something to it physically. But I'm just, you know, I had been in a car accident when I was younger, a really bad one, rolling down a mountain in a van when I was in my 20s, and everything was out of alignment back then. And now everything is in alignment. And that's the other thing I have to talk about, that I didn't understand how important good posture is. Good posture helps your whole body function more optimally because everything starts to connect with each other in the manner of which they're supposed to. So when parents say sit up at the table, that's really a good idea to do, and to be mindful. Are you slumping over like I'm doing right now, or sitting up very straight and walking straight? I mean, we can adjust our skeleton to walk more erect. And then I read that your posture, and yoga teaches us stuff, that your posture can make a difference on how you feel about yourself. So when people are nervous, let's say they're going to an interview and they're making a presentation and they're getting nervous, there's, you know, the warrior pose is supposed to help increase your confidence within yourself. So it is making those internal adjustments. So, again, mind, body, spirit, it all is connecting, and we are now understanding that, and I think we're going to have more science for the naysayers. I have a naysayer in my family, and he's very adamant about that. But I don't have to convince him, and I don't intend to do that, because he'll start learning that when he's supposed to. But the science will now start to reveal itself there, and I'm reading more and more about it. So so I feel internally that this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life now. The coalition of which I'm working at is going to be transitioning. We're, our federal grants that we have several will have expired come September. So now I want to move into working in this field full-time. And in addition to what we're doing with the expo, we're going to be hosting a six-part series at the Royal Oak Public Library starting April 20th, every Wednesday till the end of May. And we're going to have two practitioners speaking starting at 6 o'clock to 7:30 on different modalities, again, to help people who couldn't attend the March 5th event, that they could stop at the library for an hour or two and learn more information. And then after that, we always have a bike clinic for kids in our community, but I think this year we're going to add more health and wellness opportunities for families to learn, as a family, some of the modalities that they can do together. I'm really excited about all of that.
Yes, it sounds like you guys have a lot going on. One of the things that I do want our listeners to know about this event is Diane has talked about substance abuse and her inspiration behind that to educate the community. These vendors and practitioners are there to help you with that, but that is not their only purpose for being there, correct? Anybody?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so anybody who is interested in coming to this, even if you don't suffer from substance abuse or anything along those lines, you are more than welcome to attend this event. However, I would recommend and kind of throw this out there to most people, you know, everybody suffers from anxiety on some level or another, and I know that you mentioned this earlier as you were going through some of your learnings and studies and so forth. So we all have some way of dealing with anxiety, and maybe it's not you know, drugs or medications, but maybe it's 5 pounds of chocolate or you know, something that maybe is not as healthy too. So even if you're not suffering with any level of substance abuse, there's always something in some way that you can become healthier. So that would also be, I think, a valid point of why to attend this event, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't mean for it to come off that way, but I guess I can understand. That's how it started in my head, and then it mm-hmm. morphed into greater understanding on, 'cause this whole field has really blossomed in the last 5 years, and I've learned a lot. And the whole point of the expo is to help other people become comfortable and learn a lot too in an environment that's, you know, easy. People come in and they're with their friends. They bring their kids, and they're meeting people, and they're practicing things together. So yeah, it's just about building wellness, and I think wellness in itself is very empowering, because all of us have a lot of things we want to accomplish in this world. And I think we can do a little bit better if we're feeling better physically about ourselves.
I have to say, I have a lot of admiration for you, because you've literally watched this. You know, you've been involved with, you know, the holistic community and so forth and so on for a very long period of time. So you've actually seen, you know, the seed be planted, the plant starting to grow, and you're watching it start to blossom. So you've really kind of seen a decent chunk of history as far as, you know, wellness starting to come to the forefront, holistic and metaphysics starting to come to the forefront, all of these alternatives starting to be recognized, and even by science. So you've gotten to watch all of this. That has to be very interesting for you.
It is. It's very exciting. And with that, our sponsors, you know, we had sponsors, you know, add their names to the list, our ever-growing list. And we have Oakland County Mental Health Association with Beaumont. We have Mind, Body, Spirit. We have Greening Detroit. We have the Holistic Provider, Chamber of Commerce Holistic Providers. And I've been meeting with a very interesting group, Southeastern Michigan Holistic Providers. They meet together to help each other build their practices and serve each other. And I have to say it, I am so in awe of all the information that's coming out. And in addition, there's college classes. My daughter has a minor in holistic health and wellness from Western University. And Oakland University has now a wellness program. So, again, they're not incorporating holistic modalities as much as I'd like them to do, but they'll be coming next. And I'm going to keep plugging away, but I appreciate that. So we just have so many interested people now. It's it was completely different last year. No one was asking me why we're having holistic health and wellness. They're like, that's fantastic. It was really great last year. I can't wait to come this year. I'll make sure I pass out. We have, you know, we've been doing a lot of marketing with little postcards and We spend 60 hours just because we want to make sure that we have a big audience at home. So, and this radio interview is part of an important part of our marketing strategy to get a message out and to continue growing for this whole movement. I consider this a movement. It's an evolution of medical care, and I want to be and am in that. You know, I've always liked to be in the healing arts, but not as a practitioner, as a person that kind of is that bridge or that link. So, like I used to work at Red Cross, and I used to help kids. I used to teach them first aid and CPR and how to take care of themselves. So it was through those little, I used to be an EMT. So I dabbled a little bit through that. My very first thing that I did as a kid when I was 9, I learned about multiple sclerosis through the Jerry Lewis Labor Day Marathon. And he had a little kit that I applied for and received in the mail to put a little event on. One of them was a funhouse type thing in your backyard, and you would send in whatever monies that you made from that to the. And so that was I did that. So I made this little funhouse in my garage, and I invited all my friends. And of course, it was a nickel to get in. So I probably sent over $2, you know, back then. I learned how to put on an event, and I learned how to market it. And I look back and say, you know what? I didn't realize that was my passion and what I was meant to do until I was older. And I looked at the very first time I did anything like that, like, oh, yeah, yeah, I did that, and I liked it. So I'm still doing it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, and I think that you've come a long way from the $2 and the nickel entry. But going back to the event, so I know that it's being held at the Royal Oak High School. Sorry for the misinformation, but it is being held on March 5th. So can you give us the time frame, the address, just kind of those details for anybody out there who's got their pen and paper and wants to come.
Yeah, so it is on Saturday, March 5th. The event will be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We are requesting just a $5 donation at the door, which will go to benefit student wellness programs of Royal Oak Schools. But the community is welcome, everyone within the community. The high school is located at 1500 Lexington Boulevard in Royal Oak. The crossroads there are 13 and Crooks. So it's right there on the corner, very easy to get to. Parking will be off of when you are coming down Crooks. It'll be the bus route for vendors you can turn into. And then in the back of the school where the stadium entrance is where additional parking is for the community. There's also parking in the very front of the high school, but that's kind of limited. And this day, you know, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we just want everyone to feel welcome. We're inviting people who just want to accomplish a wellness goal or investigate, explore, learn more about a holistic practice, and just kind of check out how they can take control of their health and create their own destiny in promoting well-being. You know, as Diane was saying, a lot of this is kind of mundane activities that we engage in throughout our day-to-day life, but maybe we can take it to the next level and make it a practice that we, you know, focus more energy on. So, when the community comes to our event, we hope that they just discover how to enhance their personal well-being and understand that this community of holistic practitioners, it's not meant to be intimidating, even though, you know, we may not know, even though they might not know a lot about holistic practices, that they're a very welcoming group of individuals who are also hoping to promote well-being. So, in this environment that we're hoping to create, it's just a very welcoming one, and we want everyone, all ages, to attend We will have a very accessible entrance for people who have, you know, wheelchairs or walkers in the back of the high school. So it's very accessible for everyone to attend. So all ages, everyone's welcome.
Awesome. And how often do you guys put on these health and wellness expos? Is it once per year? Do you guys do this twice a year?
For the past 3 years, yes, it's been annually. But as Diane had mentioned, the coalition is now looking to put on a library series from April 20th until the end of May on Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30. And that's going to showcase two practitioners each segment. So it's kind of an overflow of information. If you're interested in this expo and kind of want more information specifically on a modality, this will showcase it, and it's going to be at the Royal Oak Public Library. And, of course, there'll be more details to follow once we get this expo completed. You know, all of our energy at the coalition is pretty much focused here right now, but we will be marketing and promoting that once the expo has taken place.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned those who are in the community and the public coming. Let's switch gears and talk about the vendors for a second. Obviously, it's really close to the date to be able to get in, but if somebody is interested in being part of your guys' six-week segment or even wanting to sign up to be part of your event for next year, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we are waitlisting right now, so we couldn't guarantee anything, but definitely to send us, get a hold of us and send us their information and what modality they're practicing, a little bit about their business so that we can keep it on file. Like Diane had said, she's now going into this wellness specialist kind of field, so this is going to be her future endeavor, and she will be keeping a lot of contact information so for her future events. Regardless of, you know, what the future of the coalition is, I mean, she would love to gather that information. So just getting a hold of us at the coalition, info@royaloakcommunitycoalition.com is a pretty generic email for us that we can take that information and just express what you hope to maybe put on, and Diane will see if it fits with any of her future endeavors.
Awesome. Well, I think that what you guys are doing is utterly amazing, and kudos to the both of you. I know that we are down to about the last 6 or 7 minutes of the show. So is there anything that you would like to tell our listeners that maybe you, either one of you, have not gotten to say or speak about?
Just that this is a really great event, very inviting event, and we don't want anyone to feel intimidated either by the size of it or the topic material. This is really just supposed to be a very welcoming environment for people to learn. So regardless of, you know, if you're completely into holistic practices, if you know nothing about it, if you're on the fence about whether you should engage with it, just come check us out. Your donation will go to a great program, or if you want to just walk in, you know, it's a judgment-free zone. So we're looking forward to seeing everyone within the community that day.
And like Dominique mentioned, we had over 700 people last year. So it's people are very interested in checking all this out. But my concluding comment would be, by putting the expo, you know, on, we're putting a complementary integrative health and physical, emotional, and mental health on the community agenda. And that's our goal. And the coalition's pursuing a critical quest to encourage a shift in healthcare practices from passive to active participation and leadership. We want to empower people. We want to instill the leadership qualities that we all have within ourselves. I always say you have to be your own leader. Don't rely on other people to be your leader. You be your own leader. So here you're going to be able to come up with ideas. You're going to learn new things. You can incorporate things into your lifestyle that will keep you healthy and robust. The goal is for optimal health. Holistic practices are about wellness you know, maintaining wellness. And when you have a health condition, you can also use different modalities. So you might learn about a modality that, you know, you're not interested in right now or don't see the need in, but you might have a health condition that pops up and say, you may think back to yourself, hey, I wonder if that might help me. I will check that out. I'm going to get more information about it. And because you know it exists, so you can Google it. You can start maybe make an appointment with somebody. And that's the other cool thing about this. We have little practice sessions, you know, physical things that are going on that you can get in there and do yoga or Tai Chi or whatever to see if you like it. Instead of paying $80 to find out you don't like it, or you say, hey, this is really cool, I really liked it, I didn't understand it, and then you can take a class in your community. Because there are yoga studios everywhere now, and there's a lot more wellness practices everywhere. I mean, it's really growing. So people are understanding it, and I'm glad we're part of that. We're putting it on the community agenda.
Go ahead.
I said we thank you very much for this opportunity.
Oh, well, thank you both for being here. I know we are proud to sponsor an event like this, and I know that we will continue to sponsor in the future. And we're always glad here at the Guide and the radio station to help promote events like this. So thank you for allowing us to be part of it as well. Before we finish out the show today, I'm going to ask you to give out contact information one last time in case anybody wants any more info on this event or, you know, anything along those lines. Where can they go?
So emailing us at info@RoyalOakCommunityCoalition.com, we will promptly respond to that, or giving us a call at the office, 248-546-7622, and then visiting our website, romi.gov. I always forget the .gov, /ROCC, and then click on the left side of your screen, you'll see some tabs to click on the Holistic Expo. That's really how you can get a hold of us. And then, of course, we are on Facebook. The Royal Oak Community Coalition does have a Facebook page, and we also have an event, the 4th Annual Holistic Health and Wellness Expo event page created underneath that. So that will give you a great way to stay up to date with all the information. And then to get more information about the March 5th Expo, and then when it's taking place, where it's taking place, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Royal Oak High School.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you both for being here today and sharing all this wonderful information. I also want to wish you the best for this event and all of your guys' endeavors. And I hope that you guys surpass that 900 people goal. I hope that there's thousands that attend.
Thank you so much for this. We appreciate you.
Thank you, and wishing you guys the best. If you're listening live right now, you're listening with Body Mind, and I just had the wonderful opportunity to interview these two amazing ladies on the upcoming Holistic and Health Wellness Expo on March 5th. If you'd like any more information about this event or you're coming in at the end of this show, please go to bodymindspiritradio.com and click on In Touch Interviews. And go to this interview. It will be the first interview that pops up. All the contact information is on that page, and you can go back through and listen to this whole entire show. I want to wish Diane and Dominique the best, and until next time, have a wonderful rest of the month. Bye-bye.